Om Shtapitam Jena Bhutale Shrayam Upukadamayam Dadanti Shva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktarindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama
Om Hrim Shrom Om Farom Tataka Hataka Keshika Dilat Padaka Lochana Padvaraka Naka Sparsadeva Singha Namostate. This afternoon we were discussing how today is a very auspicious day because it is the disappearance day of Srila Ramananda Roy, who is one of the confidential associates of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're celebrating this day. Could we turn that fan off? Someone may question how we would be celebrating the disappearance day of some great personality. Generally, in the material world, there's great bereavement when someone passes away. So they may question, how is it in Krishna consciousness we observe Srila Prabhupada's maxim that there's no difference between the appearance and the disappearance? No difference between appearance and disappearance. Why? Nitya Lila Pravishta. Nitya Lila Pravishta means that great devotees of the Lord are Nitya Lila Pravishta. Nitya Lila means that they are eternally engaged in devotional service to the Lord. Sometimes they may be manifest before our present vision, and sometimes they may not be manifest before our vision. But they're always engaged in Nitya Lila Pravishta. So in that sense, nothing is to be lamented. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has nicely stated, he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living still and sound, a Vaishnava dies to live, and while living tries to spread the holy name around. Even an ordinary transcendentalist does not lament. One who is dhira, one who is sober, one who is fixed in knowledge, he does not lament, even for the disappearance of a ordinary soul. Dehi nosmin yata dehe kovanam yovanam jara tatate antaras paptir diris tatanamuyanti. As the embodied soul continually passes from the body of a baby to a boy to a youth, similarly the soul passes into another body at death. Diris tatanamuyanti. Dira means sober. The transcendentalist, he sees with this vision. Najayate mriyate vakara chinnayam bhutva bhavita vanabhuya. For the soul, there's never birth, nor death, nor having once been. Does he ever cease to be? He's unborn, undying, primal. He is not slain when the body is slain. So this is the vision of a transcendentalist. So what to speak of the vision of a devotee who is always progressing in Krishna consciousness? Haituki apatiyata. Devotional service is unmotivated and uninterrupted. Nothing can stop devotional service. We were discussing this afternoon. Sometimes the demons, they try to stop the Sankirtan movement, but they cannot suppress it. We gave the example of a spring. If you push on a spring, you push it, push it, push it, push it, push it, right down to the bottom. What happens? You let go, boing, it comes back. There's no stopping. It's uninterrupted. Devotional service is not dependent on anything material. It is dependent upon the soul's desire to express his love for God through devotional service. So we may express it through the medium of this body. We may express it through the medium of another body. It's not dependent upon the body. Neither birth nor death affects a devotee's life, his Krishna consciousness. We often use the example of Jayananda Prabhu, who is disappearance day. We recently celebrated just before Nrisimha Chaturdasi. Prabhupada wrote to him that now Krishna has taken your diseased body away and he's given you a body which is just suitable for your service, for your desire to serve him. So death doesn't stop the service of a Vaishnava. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die. When thou art living still and sound, a Vaishnava dies to live and while living tries to spread the holy name around. So great Vaishnavas, they're always traveling and enlightening others in Krishna consciousness. Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Puri Vrajakacharya Oshtatara Sata Sri Srimad. Paribhajakacharya means wandering mendicant. Because a devotee has no attachment to this world save and except to enlighten the conditioned souls. Why do we stay here? We have no business in this world. What is attractive in this world to a Vaishnava? Only the opportunity for service. So a devotee, he'll go wherever there's service for Krishna. He'll even go to hell to serve Krishna. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in one of his prayers, he says, let me take birth as an insect in the house of a Vaishnava, but don't give me the birth of a non-devotee Brahma. There are instances where Brahma's not like we know our Brahma. Well, give me the birth as an insect in the house of a devotee rather than become a non-devotee Brahma. So a devotee can serve Krishna under any circumstances. And we are confident. Yogik shemam bhamyaham, Krishna says. Whatever they have, I protect, and whatever is lacking, I make up for that. So everything is progressive for a devotee. For a karmi, everything is regressive. It may look like they're making progress, but we've used the analogy many times of a deteriorating body. Could you get me a chatra because my legs are cold? That is also progress according to the laws of nature. That, you know, a body regresses back into the elements. From dust thou cometh, and dust thou returneth, the Christians say. So everything for a devotee is auspicious, is progress in Krishna consciousness. So we, although dhirastata nimuyanti, we may not lament an ordinary soul. We know that because of his nefarious activity, his sinful activity, he's perhaps destined to such an inauspicious birth. Therefore Krishna says, a little advancement on this path of devotional service saves one from the greatest type of fear. What is the greatest fear? To lose the opportunity to serve the Lord. That is the greatest, that is the most unfortunate thing. Prabhupada said, one who comes to this Krishna conscious movement, he's fortunate. Those who don't come to this Krishna conscious movement, they're unfortunate. But one who comes to Krishna consciousness and leaves, he's most unfortunate. That's Prabhupada's definition of the most unfortunate. One who comes to Krishna consciousness, he's fortunate. One who never comes to Krishna consciousness, he's unfortunate. The one who comes and leaves, he's the most unfortunate. Because here we have this wonderful opportunity to progress constantly on the path of devotional service. We have to understand it like that, that we're always making progress. Just like sometimes you come back after a long time, you see some of the children, they've grown. So I can see they've grown, you can't see. Little Radhe, she's gotten bigger, believe it or not. She looks to me about this much bigger. So, progress is always there. We may not see it, but we're making progress daily. So death does not deter such progress. So therefore nothing's to be lamented. Therefore we celebrate. A devotee has taken another step forward in Krishna consciousness by the desire of the Lord. So he reasons ill who says that Vaishnavas die. In this regard, we can compare the pure devotee to Krishna. Just like Prabhupada gave the analogy that the sun is sometimes manifest before our vision, and then there's a sunset and it disappears. It's like now we're entering into the winter solstice. You call it solstice? You know, where the shortest day of the year. That's coming in about 10 days. It's dark very early now. So the sun sets and then it appears to a primitive person, to a person with a poor fund of knowledge. He may think, oh, the sun has disappeared. It's gone, finished. The Aborigines used to think that. They used to think that the ocean and the mountains would eat up the sun. Oh, the sun would go behind the mountains. Ah, the mountain has eaten the sun. So they would worship the mountains. They would worship the ocean. It's so powerful, it's eaten the sun. But an intelligent person knows that the sun has not been destroyed. The sun has only disappeared from our vision. It disappeared from our vision momentarily. Somewhere else, the sun is shining. Right now, it's 12 o'clock noon somewhere on this planet. And as the sun passes from that particular place, it goes to another place, it will be 12 noon someplace else. It's always 12 noon. So Krishna's pastimes are always taking place, eternally, even within this material world. Right now, Krishna is killing Agasura somewhere. Right now, Krishna is dancing with the gopis. Right now, Krishna is herding the cows. Right now, he's wrestling with the cowherd boys, the gopas. Right now, he's running away with Radharani, somewhere. And when we become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, before we go back to the spiritual world, we join the Lord in some of those eternal pastimes. One becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, he becomes qualified to go back to the spiritual world. But a little refining is necessary. It's like, even when I was a young boy, they had these refining schools. Of course, who cares anymore? Everybody's a punk or a skinhead or whatever. No one cares about being refined. But Vedic culture, or rather even in Western culture, there was refining. I remember my sister went to one school. She'd come home and she'd learn to walk with a book on her head. So she would walk straight like this. Keep her eyes fixed. They taught her the length of her skirt, what was proper, a little bit above the ankles, and so forth and so on. So she was a nice girl, but refining school was there, just to refine. So before we go back to the spiritual world, then there's the refining school. You go to that planet in the universe where Krishna is enacting his transcendental pastimes, and you associate with the Lord. You get trained. Just like Prabhupada said, when Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, some of the gopis were coming from the spiritual world, and some of the gopis were coming from the material world. But we should not think one is inferior to the other. Because once one becomes Nitya Lila Pravishta, Jivan Mukta Suuchate, when he becomes a Jivan Mukta, a Nitya Mukta, an eternal liberated soul. Prabhupada said there's no considering that one was previously not liberated. This is the understanding. You don't think, oh, this person was eternally liberated and this person came from to the liberated stage. Nitya Mukta means once one is liberated, one considers always liberated. So this is the case, that Krishna's pastimes are going on. And enlightened souls, pure devotees of the Lord, they go to the refining school somewhere in the universe. They get trained up. Of course, there's no material desire there, but they need some training. So they get trained how to be a cowherd boy, how to be a gopi, how to be a sarabi cow, whatever. So Krishna's pastimes are always going on. They just disappear from our mundane vision for some period of time. So in the same way, Krishna's pure devotees, they may disappear from our vision momentarily, or whatever the case may be. But we know that they're serving Krishna somewhere. Actually, Prabhupada remarks in the Srimad Bhagavatam that devotees of the Lord, they are so powerful that they may be existing in the spiritual world and the material world simultaneously. Of course, this is not to be understood with our limited minds and intelligence. But on the basis of Shastra, we accept that Some devotees are so powerful that they're serving Krishna in the spiritual world and serving Krishna in the material world simultaneously. That is happening. So wherever these great devotees are, they're eternally engaged in the service of the Lord. Whether they remain within the material world on the order of the Lord, or they go back to the spiritual world, they're eternally serving Krishna. There's nothing to be lamented in that sense. Of course, what is to be lamented is the absence of such great personalities. And this instruction we get from Sri Ramananda Roy. When he was being questioned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, various things he was asking. So he asked, what is the most painful situation? Well, there's so many painful things in this world. But he said, Ramananda replied, the most painful thing is to be separated from the Vaishnavas. Why is that so painful? Because Prabhupada said a Vaishnava is one who reminds you of Krishna. In the absence of the Lord, there's his representative. And because he carries Krishna in his heart, because he's always speaking of Krishna, because always acting in Krishna's devotional service, his body, mind, and words are glorifying the Lord. To have such a devotee's association means that our remembrance of Krishna is increased. Therefore, Prabhupada said, the association of devotees is so important. The more devotees that we can associate with, the better our chances for Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada said, one who tries to become Krishna conscious outside of the association of devotees is living in hallucination. Because the mercy of the devotees is that they're always reminding us of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. An ordinary conditioned soul, when he laments, he becomes more bewildered. By contemplating the object of the senses, one develops an attraction. From such an attraction, lust develops. From lust, one becomes angry. One becomes bewildered. He loses his intelligence and falls down into the material whirlpool. This is the result. But when one laments for the Vaishnavas, for the service of the Lord, his desire to serve Krishna increases. His desire to serve the Krishna increases. So it is not, Srinivasacharya is not lamenting, but there's a type of pain there, because a devotee is so attached to Krishna. This is one sign of one who's on the platform of bhava, that he's very attached to Krishna. He's very attached to chanting Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Prandanahe. Prandanahe means the Lord of my life. Just as young boys are attracted to young girls, and young girls are attracted to young boys, so in the same way, my dear Lord, please let my attraction be drawn unto you. Kunti Devi also prays. As the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, my dear Lord, please let my attraction be drawn unto you without being diverted to anything else. So one who has tasted Krishna consciousness knows the sweetness of the Lord's lotus feet, who is feeling yāyātmā śrupaśīdati, who is actually feeling completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness. When he loses that remembrance of the Lord, that's the most painful thing. But ultimately nothing is to be lamented, because in that absence, his remembrance of Krishna increases. This is an advanced stage. So until we get to that advanced stage, we have to be constantly in association of devotees. Our problem is that when we lose the impetus for remembering Krishna, the association of devotees, the holy name, prasad, then we start thinking of other things. When a devotee is not in the Krishna conscious environment, the risk is that he may forget the Lord. He may fall into maya. Not like an advanced soul. An advanced soul, in the absence of the impetus for devotional service, his hankering is increased. But our problem is that, you know, we get separated, then maya may overcome us. That's why Prabhupada said, devotees should never be alone. Devotees should always... Prabhupada said, even if you go to the grocery store, you should go with another Vaishnava. There's an English proverb. Many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. The cup is just here, But, you know, even disbarred, sometimes there's a slip. The many accidents on the royal road. So our safety is there in the association of Krishna's devotees. So we should aspire as far as possible never to be alone. Of course, sometimes our service requires us to be alone, but not for very long. And we're doing service so we can remember Krishna. But we should always remember the value of being in the association of the Vaishnavas. So precious it is. It is the secret to success. Vaishnava Sangha, Vaishnava Association. So Srinivasacharya, realizing this fact, he's hankering for the association of devotees. Actually, Srinivasacharya knows very well the meaning of separation. He was born in Malidkatwa. And he was actually a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was born later on in the pastimes, under an Antilila. Antilila means the final pastimes of the Lord when he was at Jagannath Puri. So he grew up, and when he became of age, when he was old enough, he decided to leave home and take shelter at Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. So he left, I think he was 16 or 17, and he walked all the way to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. The whole time he was thinking, my dear Lord, I'm going to see my dear Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after walking 300 miles, it took him some months, he finally got to Jagannath Puri, and there was a great festival going on. So he was, oh, what is this, a festival of the Lord? I've heard so much about this. So he inquired from one sadhu, what is this festival? And the sadhu said, you do not know? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has finished his pastimes on this earth. He's gone back to Godhead. Srinivas was devastated. What? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? I missed him by one day. My whole life I've been serving him. My parents brought me up remembering or wanting to serve his lotus. And now I come, he's gone. And he fell down on the ground unconscious. And when he was unconscious, he had a dream. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the dream and said, my dear Srinivas, please take shelter of Gadadhar Pandit at Todagopinath temple. There you will achieve my mercy through my devotee, Srinivas, or Gadadhar. He awoke from this dream, and quickly he went to the Todagopinath temple. That's actually where Mahaprabhu left, went into the Todagopinath deity. They say into the knee. They show you a little mark there where Lord Chaitanya went into the deity. And then he went to find Gadadhar Pandit, but Gadadhar Pandit was feeling too much separation. He wasn't seeing anyone. Tears were flowing from his eyes like torrents of rain. They were just flowing outside of his locked room, like a little river was made there. But when Gadadhar Pandit was informed that Srinivasacharya was there, he said, bring him in immediately. So Srinivas came in, he offered his obeisances, and he said, the Lord has instructed me to take shelter of you and learn the science of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Gadadhar Pandit said, yes, I will instruct you, get the Bhagavatam. So Srinivas took the Bhagavatam out of the desk there, and he opened it up. He couldn't read anything. Everything was all blurry. Because whenever Gadadhar Pandit would read Srimad Bhagavatam, tears would flow from his eyes and all the ink would be smeared. So each page he was turning, Srinivas, it was just a mess of just, you know, smeared ink. So Gadadhar Pandit, he excused himself. I'm sorry. You go now to back to Navadvip and you get a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam, and then you come back here and I will instruct you in the science of Bhagavatam. So he walked 300 miles back to Navadvip. Took him months, and then he asked for one copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. It took them 4 more months to write it all down. Finally he got it, he tied it up in a bag, and he walked back down to Jagannath Puri. And just outside Jagannath Puri there's a lake, a famous lake, a holy place where Lord Chaitanya broke the danda, or rather Lord Nityananda broke the danda of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are the supreme enjoyer, how can you renounce? Let me break this danda. He threw it in the lake. It's a holy place. So he was bathing there. And then when he got out, he asked one sadhu on the bank of the river, can you tell me where I can find the Bhajan Kuntir of Gadadhar Pandit? So the sadhu said, you do not know. You do not know. Do not know what? You do not know that Gadadhar Pandit gave up his earthly pastimes to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What? No! He fell on the ground, lamenting, crying, how will I achieve the mercy of the devotees of the Lord? So like this, he was wandering and wandering and so forth, and then he fell down on the ground, unconscious. And then Gadadhar Pandit appeared to him in one dream, and he said, my dear Srinivas, I'm very sorry. I could not bear any longer. One moment was seeming like 12 years or more, and tears were flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm sorry. But my instruction to you is you go now to back to Navadvipa and take shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Acharya. They will give you the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he walked all the way, another 300, it took him months to get back to Navadvipa, and then he went to the Ganga to take a bath. And he got out of the Ganga and he said, now finally I will achieve the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I will find Lord Nityananda and Sri Advaita. He asked one sadhu, where are they? Where's Lord Nityananda? Where's Sri Advaita? You do not know. You know what? You do not know that just hours ago, Lord Nityananda and Sri Advaita, they wound up their earthly pastimes to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srinivas said, I will beat my head against the rocks in lamentation. Oh, and he fell down crying, lamenting like this. And then he was actually, it was too much, three times. He began wandering in a daze like a madman, avidut, just wandering and falling and bruising himself and not eating and falling unconscious. And he was in such a state of lamentation. So one Babaji came up to him. I forget his name. He's one famous devotee. He says, are you Srinivas? Yes, leave me alone. Just leave me alone to lament. I cannot achieve the mercy of Gornitai. All the Panchatattva, they've gone, left me here to beat my head against the rocks. Cannot achieve, Lord Chaitanya. You know what happened to me, my dear friends. I went to achieve the mercy of Lord Gauranga, and he disappeared moments before. Then Gadadhar. Then Lord Nityananda and Advaita, what is left to me? And Babaji said, yes, all right, but Mother Vishnupriya wants to see you. Mother Vishnupriya is the wife of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She was still living. Actually, there are many great devotees remained for some time. Mother Janava Mata, the wife of Lord Nityananda, actually she became the head of the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya. Sometimes people ask, do the women become gurus? Yes. Ganga Mata Goswamini. There's various examples of exalted ladies who became spiritual masters in Krishna consciousness. So Mother Vishnupriya was still living. So Srinivas was instructed to go to her house. She was staying with Mother she was staying in Sachimata's house. So when he arrived there, he offered his dandabats at the lotus feet of Vishnupriya, the Lord's eternal consort. And she said, Srinivas, I've been waiting for you. I knew you were coming. I have received instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you should now go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Rupa and Sanatan. Through the mercy of Rupa and Sanatan in Vrindavan, you can achieve Lord Gauranga's mercy. So immediately, without hesitation, he offered his obeisances again to Mother Vishnupriya. He took his Srimad Bhagavatam. He hadn't received one class yet. He took his Srimad Bhagavatam. He walked, 1,000 miles, I think, 1,200 miles. It took him 8 months to get there. All the way he's thinking, Rupa Sanatan, Rupa Sanatan. Oh, now I'll get the mercy. So finally he made it there, and just outside of Vrindavan. Don't try to guess the story. Okay? This is Leela. Just outside of Vrindavan, he took bath in Akura Ghat. When Akura took Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to Mathura, they stopped at that ghat there, and that's where Akura saw Krishna and Balaram manifest in the water. So he took bath there, and when he got out, he was drying off. He heard some sadhus nearby conversing. Oh, Vrindavan will never be the same now. Vrindavan will never be the same. They said, yes, now our lives are empty. And they were weeping. He didn't pay much attention. His mind was fixed on going to take shelter of Rupa and Sanatan. So he's going on like that, hearing them. And then, what is that sadhu? What are you saying, Vrindavan will never be the same? Why are you lamenting your sadhu? Oh, don't you know? Rupa and Sanatan have just left this material world to join the lotus feet of Lord Garanga. So Srinivas, no! No, it's not possible. What will I do? So the sadhu said, yes, just hours before they left, and now their disappearance festival is being held in Govindaji Temple. Go there quickly. You can see the divine forms before they're placed in samadhi. Srinivas, he ran all the way from Akura Ghat into Vrindavan. It's about 3 miles. He ran all the way and he got there. He beheld the divine forms of Rupa and Sanatan. But his lords had left. Just their divine form was there to place in samadhi. He fell on the ground unconscious. Oh, my life is finished. Now I will never achieve the mercy. Everyone is gone. He fell unconscious. And he lay there for many hours. The whole festival was going on. He just lay at the feet of Rupa and Sanatan. No one noticed him. He's a young boy, laying there. And after a little while, one transcendentally effulgent personality came up. One sadhu, just thin, but face brilliant, shining with knowledge, transcendental knowledge, and meekness and humility. This divine personality approached him, just in a loincloth, bare feet and a little water pot, and he sprinkled some Jamuna water on his face. He said, Srinivas, wake up, Srinivas, wake up. So Srinivas woke up. He said, oh, let me die. And this person, I said, no, you have much service to do for the Lord. Arise now. Take the shelter of the Lord's devotees. So Srinivas said, who are you? And this personality said, my name is Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami took Srinivas under his wing, so to speak, under his care, and he eventually instructed him to take shelter of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Srinivas Acharya was the disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. In this way he achieved the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through his devotees. So we may also lament, today is an auspicious day, Ramananda Roy. So many pertinent instructions, so many important discussions went on between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. So we can also lament, but we must also understand that such personalities are present in their vani. Vani means their instructions. As we've discussed many times, there's vapu and vani. Vapu means the physical presence, and vani means the instruction. And Prabhupada actually said the instruction is more important. Nothing is missing in the instruction. Nothing. I received one letter from Srila Prabhupada, and I was expressing how I was missing Prabhupada so much. We traveled with Prabhupada, and then it was very hard afterwards. So I wrote one letter, I'm missing you. And Prabhupada wrote me back, he said, yes, I am also missing my disciples, he said, but I always feel that my Guru Maharaj is watching over and protecting me. Well, that was ecstatic. Actually, Prabhupada was explaining his own situation, but he was giving us an instruction that we can also feel that our Guru Maharaj is always watching over and protecting us if we're following his instructions. And actually one who seriously executes the instruction of his guru, he will actually come closer and closer to the spiritual master. Upaniti. Upaniti, this word actually means initiation. Initiation in Sanskrit is upaniti. Upaniti means that which brings one closer to Krishna. The initiation ceremony. We're very far away from Krishna. But when we meet Krishna's devotee, we're drawn to the lotus feet of the Lord. Upaniti, that which brings one closer to Krishna. So, through Guru Nishtha, we discussed this the other day in Auckland. Guru Nishtha means being firmly fixed in the service of one's guru. By serving that instruction as our life and soul, we may constantly feel the association of the devotees. Again, that relationship is not material, it's not based on the body. It's something completely transcendental. Janme, janme, Prabhu say, he is my Lord birth after birth. It is not dependent on anything material, and neither is the relationship deteriorated by any material factors or circumstances. It is eternal. Janme, janme, Prabhu say. So, how to get that association? In other words, the physical presence is gone, but the devotees are present in the form of their instructions. The more through the Vani, we realize the presence of great devotees more and more. And everyone has this practical experience. That the more we serve the instruction, the closer we become. It's a transcendental phenomena which cannot be understood with one's material mind. Atta Shri Krishna Nabadi Nabaved Grahyam Indriya. No one can understand the transcendental name, fame, form, paraphernalia, pastimes of the Lord with his materially conditioned senses. Only when the senses are purified through the process of devotional service can one experience the Lord as he is. So when we purify our senses through the acts of bhakti, through the acts of devotion, we feel the presence of the Lord and his devotees at every minute. This is practical experience. This is vani, guru vani, following the instructions. So, such great personalities as Ramananda Roy, oh, there's so many. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Narantam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada, and even our own God brothers and God sisters, Jayananda Prabhu, Gauri Dasi, they've all gone. But their presence can be felt through the process of Guru Vani, following the instructions of the spiritual master. So we can, in one sense, we can lament, as Srinivasacharya did. But in another sense, we can make up for that separation through following the instructions. As Prabhupada concludes the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. The same instruction that Prabhupada wrote to me. I always feel that my Guru Maharaj is watching over me and protecting me. The same principle. His concluding words. He lives forever by his divine instructions and his follower lives with him. So great souls can continue to give us their association even after their departure. And actually, their departure is simply also to help us in our Krishna consciousness. How could that be? How could the departure of a great soul be an impetus towards our advancing in devotional service? Well, we can look to the instance in Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, where Dhruva Maharaj, that's 3rd canto, Dhruva Maharaj is following the instructions of Narada Muni. He's performing austerities and penances. He's chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and the Lord appears before him. In his incomplete state of devotional service, Lord Krishna manifested. You see how merciful Krishna is. Even in his imperfect realization, still the Lord was so kind, he appeared to Dhruva Maharaj to give him impetus to advance in devotional service. But then the Lord disappeared. And he told Dhruva Maharaj, he said, those who are incomplete in devotional service cannot have my darshan constantly. So the Lord appeared to him and then he disappeared. So what was Dhruva's understanding? Stana bilasi tapasi stitoham tumpapdavam devamanindugayam kachan vichivam api divyaratnam swamin kratitosmi varam nayache. My dear Lord, I was, because I was seeking an opulent material position, I was performing severe penances and austerities. Now I have gotten you, who are difficult, but the great demigods, kings, and saintly persons to attain. I was looking after broken pieces of glass, but now I have found the most valuable jewel. Therefore, my Lord, I am so satisfied, I desire no benediction. So that momentary glimpse of the Lord was enough to give him the impetus to go to the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. He had advanced, obviously, by the mercy of his spiritual master. He was engaged in the process of devotional service. His heart was becoming cleansed, but he was incomplete. So Krishna stated to him, quite rightly, that one who is incomplete in Krishna consciousness cannot live constantly in the association of the Lord. Although the Lord is always present, we cannot appreciate his presence because of our incompleteness in Krishna consciousness. But what was the result of that momentary vision of the Lord? He aspired for perfection. He aspired for that perfection. So the separation from the Lord was itself an impetus to his becoming a pure devotee. So similarly, how do we understand that? Oh, we are lamenting. Prabhupada has disappeared. Vapu has disappeared. Vani is there. But Vapu. And Prabhupada has promised us that at the end we will all be with Krishna. He said, yes, Tamal is going. His disciples here, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Prabhupada said, Tamal is going back. He said, this one is going back, that one is going back. He said, we will have our ISKCON in the spiritual sky. So Janme, Prabhupada said, these relationships are eternal. They exist in the spiritual world. We have joined the family of Krishna. It's an eternal family. So Prabhupada has gone, but therefore, let me become complete in my devotional service so that I may rejoin the Lord and his devotees. That's how the separation works. The separation is working because, you know, here we are stuck in this material world. They've all gone back. And devotee wants nothing more than to be at the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga. That is his aspiration. So how to do that? Then you execute the vani. We carry the orders of Guru and Gauranga to perfection. And with that, we purchase our ticket back home. You can't go back to Godhead any other way but by the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. That is our qualification. Not by scholarly knowledge, by austerities, by penances. None of these things can qualify one to enter into the spiritual world. Bhaktimam avijananti yavanyas chasmi tatvata. I can be understood as I am only through the process of devotional service, and when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotional service, he can enter the kingdom of God. So when we become perfect in devotional service, which means to fulfill the instructions of the Lord and his representative, that is our ticket back to Godhead. So we have to work very hard in that way. What are the instructions? Are they difficult? What is the instruction? So many instructions are there. We pick up one, two, three, and we try to do that. No one individual can do everything, but everyone can play his part. Some can cook for the Lord, some can sew for the Lord, some can preach for the Lord, some can administrate for the Lord. Whatever ability Krishna has given us, and we try to execute that to the best of our ability. The united effort makes the society move on. And when we play our part to perfection in that way, we receive the mercy of Guru and Gauranga. And what is the reward? That we rejoin the association of Krishna's eternal devotees. So in that way, we understand the meaning of this auspicious day. It is very auspicious, actually. very auspicious in many ways. And if there's any feelings of separation or lamentation, good. Feelings of separation and lamentation will only increase our desire to have such great personalities, associations, such as Ramananda Roy. Well, let us take a few minutes here to become inspired to get such association. We associate with such personalities by hearing their glories. Holy days like Ekadasi and Janmashtami are the mothers of devotion for devotees who properly respect them. So our devotion, our love for Krishna, our love for his devotees, our love for this process of devotional service is increased through Shravanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnushmaranam. Vishnushmaranam means remembrance of the Lord. What it actually means is constant remembrance of the Lord. Vishnushmaranam. So through Shravanam and Kirtanam, our remembrance of Krishna is increased. So it's just as good to hear about Krishna's devotees as it is to hear about Krishna. In fact, sometimes Prabhupada said it's more important to hear or to serve the devotee than it is Krishna. Because by the mercy, again, of those devotees, we become Krishna conscious. So by reading the lives of such great acharyas as Sri Ramananda Roy, we ourselves can pick up the clue to devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, devotional service is imbibed from the Vaishnavas. It's not something that you purchase. Here's $10, please give me some of your Vaishnava qualities. No. You know, rub up against a devotee. Give me some of that, you know, shakti you've got. By living in the association of devotees, it's very infectious. And we actually imbibe the qualities of Vaishnavas. So, how to associate with Vaishnavas? Sadhu sanga, sarvashastu koi, labhamata, sadhu sanga, sarvasiddhi hoy. Even a moment's association with them can give us complete perfection. So how to associate with devotees? Shravanam, through hearing. This is the most potent way. We've many times discussed that also. The way asat sanga tiyaga evaishnava to shtri sanga ekasara krishna amakdara. We are instructed not to associate with materialistic people, because by their association we lose our Krishna consciousness. So what is the most potent way of association? Hearing. How are we now associating with Śrīla Prabhupāda? Everyone is having Prabhupāda's association through hearing from his books, from hearing from his tapes, from hearing from his devotees, transcendental message, Śabda Brahma. We're having that intimate association. But that is actually how we associate. We hear. Hearing is so powerful. There's a statement in the Vedas that through sound one becomes conditioned and through sound one becomes liberated. By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class and by rendering service under the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart of the candidate becomes destroyed almost to nil. And thus, devotional service within the heart is awoken. So this is the technique. Shushushro shudadanasya vasudeva kata ruchi. By serving those devotees who are freed from vice, great service is done. By such service one gains an affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So we can now associate with Sri Ramananda Roy by hearing his transcendental pastimes. And we can become inspired through his realizations in Krishna consciousness, which he shares with us, through his eternal instructions, and through his exemplary behavior as a confidential associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can also learn how to act in Krishna consciousness. In this way, on such an auspicious day, we can make leaps and bounds of spiritual advancement, if we hear attentively. Sri Ramananda Roy ki. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Sri Ramananda Roy was the viceroy of the east and west side of the Godavari River in the empire of Raj Sri Pattaparudra. When Mahaprabhu was setting out on his tour of South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya especially requested him to meet Ramananda Roy. Please do not neglect him, thinking he belongs to a Sudra family engaged in material activities. It is my request that you meet him without fail. Ramananda Roy is a fit person to associate with you. No other devotee can compare with him in knowledge of the transcendental mellows. As previously, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted to Vaishnavism many people he met on the road. After some days, the Lord reached the banks of the river Godavari. When he saw the river Godavari, the Lord remembered the river Jamuna, and when he saw the forest and the banks of the river, he remembered Sri Vrindavan Dham. After performing his usual chanting and dancing for some time in this forest, the Lord crossed the river and took his bath on the other bank. After bathing in the river, the Lord walked a little distance from the bathing place and engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
At that time, accompanied by the sounds of music, Ramananda Roy came there, mounted on a palanquin, to take his bath. Many Brahmins, following the Vedic principles, accompanied Ramananda Roy. According to Vedic rituals, Ramananda Roy took his bath and offered oblations to his forefathers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the person who had come to bathe in the river was Ramananda Roy. The Lord wanted so much to meet him that his mind immediately began running after him. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running after him mentally, he patiently remained sitting. Ramananda Roy, seeing this wonderful sannyasi, came to see him. Sri Ramananda Roy then saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as brilliant as 100 suns. The Lord was covered by a saffron garment. He was large in body and very strongly built, and his eyes were like lotus petals. When Ramananda Roy saw this wonderful sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. He went to him and immediately offered his respectful obeisances, falling down flat like a rod. The Lord stood up and asked Ramananda to arise and chant the holy name of Krishna. Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very eager to embrace him. Sri Chaitanya then inquired whether he was Ramananda Roy, and he replied, "Yes, I am your very low servant, and I belong to the Sudra community." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Ramananda Roy very firmly. Indeed, both the master and the servant almost lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. Their natural love for each other was awakened in them both, and they both embraced and fell down on the ground. When they embraced one another, ecstatic symptoms, perilous perspiration, tears, shivering, palpitations, and paleness appeared. The word Krishna came from their mouths falteringly. When the stereotyped ritualistic Brahmins who were following the Vedic principles saw the ecstatic manifestation of love, they were struck with wonder. All these Brahmins began to reflect as follows. We can see that this sannyasi has a luster like the effulgence of Brahman. But how is it that he's crying upon embracing a Sudra, a member of the fourth caste in the social order? They thought, this Ramananda is the governor of Madras, a highly learned and grave person, a Mahapandita. But upon touching this sannyasi, he's become restless like a madman. While the Brahmanas were thinking in this way about the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Brahmins and restrained his transcendental emotions. When they regained their sanity, they both sat down, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to smile and speak as follows. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has spoken of your good qualities, and he has made a great endeavor to convince me to meet you. Indeed, I have come here just to meet you. It is very good that even without making an effort, I have gotten your interview here. Ramananda Roy replied, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thinks of me as his servant. Even in my absence, he is very careful to do me good. By his mercy, I have received your interview here. Consequently, I consider that today I have become a successful human being. I can see that you have bestowed special mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Therefore, you have touched me, although I am untouchable. This is due only to his love for you. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana himself, and I am only a government servant interested in materialistic activities. Indeed, I am the lowest amongst men in the fourth caste. You do not fear the Vedic injunction stating that you should not associate with a Sudra? You are not contemptuous of my touch, Although in the Vedas you are forbidden to associate with sudras, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Therefore, no one can understand your purpose. By your mercy, you are touching me, although this is not sanctioned in the Vedas. You have come here specifically to deliver me. You are so merciful that you alone can deliver all fallen souls. It is the general practice of all saintly people to deliver the fallen. Therefore, they go to people's houses, although they have no personal business there. Along with me, there are 1,000 men, including the Brahmins, and all of them appear to have had their hearts melted simply by seeing you. I hear everyone chanting the holy name of Krishna. Everyone's body is thrilled with ecstasy, and there are tears in everyone's eyes. My dear sir, according to your beautiful features and your behavior, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such behavior and features are impossible for an ordinary living being, for they cannot possess such transcendental qualities. The Lord replied to Ramananda Roy, "My dear sir, you are the best of topmost devotees. Therefore, upon seeing you, everyone's heart has melted. Although I am a Mayavadi sannyasi, a non-devotee, I am floating in the ocean of love of Krishna simply by touching you. And what to speak of others? Knowing this, in order to rectify my heart, which is very hard, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked me to meet you." In this way, each of them praised the qualities of the other, and both of them were pleased to see one another. One Vaishnava Brahmana came forward at this time and invited the Lord to accept his midday meal at his house. And so the Lord, after arranging a later meeting with Ramananda Roy, left the Godavari in the company of that Brahman. Sri Ramananda Roy was the son of Sri Bhavananda Roy, who was previously Maharaj Pandu, the father of the five Pandavas. Bhavananda Roy dedicated all of his five sons, Ramananda, Gopinath, Kalanidhi, Sudanidhi, and Baninath, to the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His wife was formerly Sri Kunti Devi. In the afternoon, after Mahaprabhu had finished his bath in the Godavari, he sat down and waited. Ramananda Roy, accompanied by one servant, arrived there. He fell down to offer his obeisances to the Lord's lotus feet. Mahaprabhu pulled him up and, after embracing him very firmly, seated Ramananda next to himself in a secluded place. Then the two of them, in the madness of ecstatic love, began to converse together on the topics of Sri Krishna. Mahaprabhu asked questions to which Ramananda was to supply the answers. On the subject of the supreme goal of life, Ramananda first proposed observance of the four orders of social and spiritual life and executing one's duties in accordance with these. Next, one after another, he mentioned renouncing the fruits of one's activities, rendering formal service to the Lord, serving the Lord in devotion, mixed with knowledge, and finally pure devotional service. Though Mahaprabhu assented that the rendering of pure devotional service is the entrance into the ultimate goal of life, he urged Ramananda Roy to go even beyond this. One after another, Ramananda then described attachment to Krishna in servitorship, friendship, parenthood, and finally conjugal love, to which Mahaprabhu again replied, "Kindly proceed further and tell me something more." Ramananda Roy then explained that amongst the gopis who worship Krishna in conjugal love, the mood of Srimati Radharani is super excellent. This Mahaprabhu accepted as being the essence of perfection. As he still wanted to hear more, Ramananda Roy sang a song of his own composition that nicely conveyed Srimati Radharani's confidential mood known as Prema Vivarta Vilasa. Hearing this song, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu covered Ramananda's mouth with his hand, confirming that he had expressed the limit of the goal, sadhya, of human life, which could only be realized by the practice of devotional service, sadhan. Then Ramananda Roy explained that Srimati Radharani is a creeper of love for Krishna, and her sakis are like twigs, flowers, and leaves of that creeper of devotion. Sri Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure, and Radharani is the greatest manifestation of ecstatic emotions. Finally, Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy embraced, crying in the ecstasy of Krishna Prema. Towards the end of the night, they concluded their talk and each went to take rest. The next evening, Ramananda came again to Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and offered his prostrated obeisances. Mahaprabhu firmly embraced him and, after seating him again, began to ask him questions. "What is the best education?" "Devotion to Krishna," answered Ramananda Roy. What is the greatest activity for a living entity? To be the servant of Krishna. What is the supreme wealth? Love of Radha and Krishna. What is the greatest unhappiness? Not to have the association of devotees of Krishna. What is the highest liberation? The best jewel of all kinds of liberation is to develop love for Krishna. What is the best song? Songs describing the pastimes of Radha Krishna. What is most auspicious for the living entities? The association of a devotee of Krishna. What is the only thing we have to remember? Krishna's name, qualities, and pastimes. What is the only thing to meditate upon? The lotus feet of Krishna. Where is the best place to live? In that place where Krishna had his pastimes. What is the best thing to be heard? Descriptions of the loving pastimes of Radha Krishna. And what is the only thing which is to be glorified? The name of Radha and Krishna. What are the destinations of those who desire liberation and those who are gross materialistic enjoyers? The first attains bodies as trees, and the second demigods. Ramananda Roy continued, those who are devoid of all mellows are like the crows that suck the juice from the bitter fruits of the nimba tree of knowledge, whereas those who enjoy mellows are like the cuckoos who eat the buds of the mango tree of love of God. Ramananda Roy concluded, the unfortunate empiric philosophers taste the dry process of philosophical knowledge, whereas the devotees regularly drink the nectar of love of Krishna. Therefore, they are the most fortunate of all. Thereafter, Mahaprabhu revealed his form of Radha Krishna, seeing which Ramananda Roy fell unconscious. Regaining his senses, he began to offer hymns and praises in glorification of the Lord. Mahaprabhu requested him to please not reveal any of these esoteric truths to anyone. When Mahaprabhu was about to take leave of Ramananda Roy, he gave him the following instructions. Give up all material engagements and come to Jagannath Puri. I will return there very soon after finishing my tour and pilgrimage. The two of us shall remain together at Jagannath Puri and happily pass our time discussing Krishna. When he returned to Puri, he found that Ramananda had gotten the permission of Maharaj Patruparudra to leave his post and reside in Sri Kshetra, Jagannath Puri. He had become a close friend of Sri Swarup Damodar. Ramananda Roy could compose dramas and then would have them acted out for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath by young girls. Mahaprabhu stated that the minds of great yogis can become disturbed simply by seeing a female doll, but the mind of Ramananda Roy didn't slightly waver, even as he personally bathed and decorated the bodies of young dancing girls. Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar were the constant companions of Mahaprabhu during his final pastimes. When the Lord actually felt pangs of separation from Krishna, only Ramananda Roy's talk about Krishna and his sweet songs and the sweet songs of Swarup Damodar kept him alive. Hearing that Mahaprabhu had closed his earthly pastimes, Maharaj Patruparudra threw himself on the ground and lost consciousness, his head suffering heavy blows with the earth, while Ramananda Roy was only just barely able to remain alive. Ramananda Roy's house is still existing at Jagannath Ballabha Udyan on the Grand Road of Puri. Shri Ramananda Roy ki, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi, Mangalarti ki, Hare Krishna. What's that?
Sick.
Hmm?
Just staying to make a sick.
Oh, for your deities? That's nice.
I'm not like you.